There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody. I'm just glad to be here. This is our second anniversary show. Can't tell you how pleased I am to be here with Tim. Tim, God, 2 years flew by.
Yeah, I know.
I've got 2 years, tons of guests, a lot of fun times. I mean, we've spoken to some of the tops in the field, and you know, in kind of a nice bookend scenario for us, we started this whole deal 2 years ago. With our very first guest being a guy that we have all grown to love and enjoy watching on the TV show Ghost Hunters with Jason Hawes. And Jason was kind enough to deal with our salsa music explosion. So for anybody looking for a good laugh, go into our Darkness Radio archives and go back to the very first episode. Poor Jason, what a trooper. The guy had salsa music blaring in his ear the whole time. He could hear it, and we could hear it faintly in the background, but he couldn't hear anything we were talking to him about. We had to literally, he had to answer on the one phone, and I called him on his cell phone, so we did a two-phone party line to get him to get through the interview. And, you know, because of the work that the guys on Ghost Hunters did and the support that they've given us as friends, that helped to get us on the air when we were able to go to our radio show PD here and tell him that we wanted to do a paranormal show, and our first guest would be you know, the guys from the Ghost Hunters. They said, all right, let's give you guys a shot, and they put us on. So tonight, joining us for our second anniversary this evening, we've got Mr. Grant Wilson, the prettier party of the two on the Ghost Hunters TV show. Good evening, Grant.
Good evening, Dave.
Thanks a lot for joining us and being here with us, man.
I think that intro tells me more about you than it does about me.
A little bit.
What's going on, man?
Well, we've got 2 years under our belt. It's been going crazy. I mean, it's got to be nuts for you guys. What is this, fourth season you guys have been on now, right?
Yeah, fourth season. We're filming nonstop. We just took a break for the holidays, so I guess it's not nonstop. But we're just hitting it hard, and now they've got the spinoff show, Ghost Hunters International, because, you know, they go overseas, like, for 2 months straight, and we got family who's not going to do that.
Yikes, but, yeah.
Yeah, but,
does it feel like 4 years to you? I mean, does it, it's just been bam for you guys, too. That's a crazy amount of time to be on the air already.
It's terrible. It goes by so fast. It's been a wild ride. It's been a good ride, but 4 years, no way. I mean, I look at my kids, and they've grown up so much since we first did the first episode, and it goes by too fast, Dave.
Well, I know. That's what we've been going through here with it. You know, I mean, it's been so much fun to do and get the show off the ground and you know, talk to so many fantastic guests. But
well, you guys, I mean, you're doing phenomenal. I remember when you guys first started, and I look at your guest history, and, I mean, it blows my mind. You've had the ability to talk to some amazing, amazing people. And I'm just honored to be here, you know,
The
anniversary show.
Well, you guys, you know, like I said, you guys opened up a lot of doors for us by allowing us to come on and be able to have, you know, Jason from the Ghost Hunters and the support of you and Jason on the website at the Atlantic Paranormal Society and everything to, you know, give us a promotion and the kick to get our show launched off the ground. That's really, like I said at the beginning, you know, joking around, but that was that's what helped sell RPD here at the station that we were on.
Cool.
To get us on. If we were able to show up with our very first show being, you know, the guys from the hottest paranormal show on the market, we were definitely in. And I said, well, they weren't available. Most Haunted was too busy for us. But Ghost Hunters is pretty... Oh, I'm just kidding with it. Come on, just joking.
It's good, though, because, I mean, it's I'm in a spot, you know, that I never really wanted to be and never expected to be in, and Jay and I both. And it's nice to be able to, you know, to use that to help other people, you know, people that we respect, get the recognition they need. And, you know, it's really cool because, like, I was just out shopping today with my kids, and, you know, people recognize you, and they'll just say, you know, all you have to do is say hi, and you've just made that person's day. And that's a good spot to be in, and, you know, you can just make someone's day by saying hi, you know. So it's very nice that we're, you know, that... when we try to help somebody, it actually works out. So good job, Dave.
Definitely. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's you guys have definitely been a boost there. And then, of course, stepping up and doing the live events with us. And
well, that's just fun. That's just plain old fun.
Yeah, making it available to the, you know, your fans and to our listeners, and to be able to do these live events. That's been a great deal for Tim and I because, you know, we want to go out and see all these haunted spots. And this has been a really nice opportunity for us to do it with good friends, with you and Jay and Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns and John and Rosemary and everybody that's been a part of our family for the last year and a half. It's been, you know, just a blast to get out there and see everything. And those have been some of the best memories I think I've had in, you know, my adult life, is doing all these live events and meeting all the people and hanging out with you guys and all the behind-the-scenes turmoil and fun and laughter and, you know, just the silly stuff going on in the background has been just a blast. And, you know, I tell people it's hard when they want to know, well, what do you really like doing about the paranormal retreats? What's your favorite part? And I said, actually, the favorite part is just kind of the downtime. You know,
right.
Hanging out in the halls with the guys and the listeners and the fans of Ghost Hunters, just getting to know everybody and talk and chat. And I mean, the ghost hunting's fun, of course, and the talks are marvelous, but it's just, you know, the time when you become like a family and getting to know everybody and hang out, that's always been the big kick for Tim and I. And I know with you too and Jason, that's always, you know, we're always out there and about hanging out, shaking hands,
yeah,
kissing babies, and, you know, doing what it takes to be out there with everybody.
Well, I love them. They're such a good time, and it's funny. I get a kick out of it the first night whenever there are people who haven't been to one before. And it's, you know, we have that meet and greet, and everyone wants to snap pictures and wants you to sign stuff, shake your hand. And it's like, listen, I tell everybody, you're going to get sick of us by the end of this weekend, and because we're there for the same exact reasons they're there for. I mean, we just want to hang out. We want to have a good time, and we're always there talking. And, you know, everybody's like that. It's just a good time. Everyone's so excited to be there, and no one's stuffy or any stupid stuff like that. Everyone just gets together, and, you know, we all share. It's nice to be surrounded by people who get you, who understand the field, and, you know, you can say crazy things that you couldn't say in public. You can say to these people, and they'll get it, you know. It's just a good time. You can't, I don't know. I enjoy them. And people who haven't been on one, there's no way they can understand until they go.
No, and the friends, I mean, just even the friends that we've made, you know, from the listeners and fans of your show that have come out to the events, you know, some fantastic people, you know, Bree, Patrice, a bunch of the people like that we've hung out with, you know, Jen's, Janae's, everybody, Angie's, you know, I mean, just we've had so many fantastic friends that we've made at these events. And, you know, what, Lee, Britt, God, I'm just trying to jump names here.
Well, that
show up to every event. And it, like I said, it feels like a family reunion when we go out to these deals.
Exactly. And I tell people that a lot of people come up to me at the end of the event and tell me I was correct. I say, you're going to become a part of a big family here. And once you go on one, you want to go to the next one. You want to go to the next one because they're just a blast. And
we're like paranormal crack.
We are. Except the next hit's better than the first.
That's right, exactly. We've had, you know, not even talking about just the hanging out. I mean, the funny part I get is a lot of people tell me, oh, there's no way anything's going to happen when you've got 100 people ghost hunting in a night. And, you know, there's been times we've watched Ghost Hunters episodes where you've only got four people in a haunted place and nothing happens. We go in with 100 people, and every event we have some things happen. What, you and Chris and a bunch of people at a table move at the Stanley, right?
I'll tell you what, we were at the Stanley one year, and we were in this one room, and a chair, just as I turned on my phone to see the time, it lit up the room, and this chair just popped over like it had been hit by a pneumatic hammer. Just boom, flipped right over. And then the next time we were there, we were
all mind you, that was in a room full of people. There were four or five, six of you in there, right? So it wasn't just you seeing something and running out and telling everybody, "This is what I saw."
No, we all saw it, right? Exactly. And then that same room, the next time, Chris Fleming and I were down there, and we were begging this thing to do something, and one of these big, long, you know, folding tables was leaning up against the wall, and it lifted off the wall and then came crashing down right between everybody. It didn't hurt anyone. It didn't even come close, but it was just amazing. And then, I mean, we've had all sorts of stuff happen. We had a door slam hard one place. We've had shadows we watched for a good hour at Rolling Hills.
Yeah, Rolling Hills, that was crazy. You guys were actually watching shadow people develop and move around in front of you and come up towards you and then go away. And that was, again, for the private ghost hunt.
Remember we had ornaments flying off the Christmas tree? Crazy stuff. Every time something happens, and I think people are a little discouraged because there's so many people there, but the way you have figured out how to divide it up, you get just enough people in there where if they concentrate on what they're doing, you've got every corner of every room, there's eyes and ears, and so someone's going to experience something, and the two people next to them are going to experience it too. And it just works out really well.
What do you think? I mean, when we were at the Queen Mary doing the event there, Chris Fleming's in the pool twice now. He's been there in the pool area with a group of people, and a little girl's voice is called out loud. The entire group has heard it on numerous occasions at the Queen Mary event that we've done. I mean, does that kind of fly in the face of what you guys usually see? I mean, is it normal to have that many people be around and still have paranormal activity take place? Or do you think it's because there's so many people there focused on one thing, it kind of amps up the energy for these beings and, you know, and they're able to communicate better?
Well, I think that there's a big illusion out there that the paranormal only happens for certain people. Mm-hmm. I think the paranormal has no prejudice. It's just going to happen when it happens. There are techniques to help you capture it better, sure. But I think if a little girl's going to talk, you know, she'll do it if there's one person in the room. She'll do it if there's 20 people in the room or if there's 30, whatever. And it's just a matter of the techniques you use. And I honestly believe that if the group is really focused, they're going to have better results the more people you have if they're disciplined. They have to be disciplined. They can't be running around cracking jokes. Because, like I said, instead of having one, you know, two pairs of eyes and two sets of ears, you've got 15
right
in there. And, you know, it's like setting up 15 cameras. You're going to catch more. It's just that simple. But I think yeah, if the people have the right attitude, they're going to create a certain energy that could aid this happening. You know, it creates a comfort zone for certain types of spirits, I'm sure.
Yeah. You get all that activity going on and all the people with the intent of seeing something, I'm sure that does lend itself quite a bit to helping this out. Has there been, I know for me, I guess, the events that we've done now, I'd say Rolling Hills and probably Stanley are still my two favorite places that we've gone to investigate on these events. What has really kind of stood out for you?
I got to agree with you. I think the Stanley Hotel and the Rolling Hills really lend themselves to being investigated by a large group of people. I think the Queen Mary does too, but I think the activity there is a lot more subtle than the other places. The Stanley, something will happen every time. You're staying in the room in the hotel, and
right,
people will come to you with these stories. They didn't sleep at night, but man, are they happy because their dresser was moving, or they saw a shadow, or things like that.
Well, whereas at the Queen Mary last year, the very first one we did in December or January last year, I got the girl, I'm in my room falling asleep, and I hear this screaming out in the hall. And, you know, being a coordinator, I ran out in the hall to see what the hell was going on, make sure everybody was okay. And there's a girl out there, and I'm like, what's wrong? And she said, I'm not going in there. The water went on by itself. And I said, well, honey, you came to ghost hunt, man. What?
Right.
So we went back in a room. We looked around, no water. I sat on the corner of her bed for like a half an hour. We were hoping it. I left. Comes back, it was like 15, 20 minutes later, there's somebody pounding on my door. I open it up, and she's like, you got to get me a new room. I can't take it. This thing won't stop screwing with the water. The minute I lay down, the water goes on. So, you know, it's subtle. It's even in the bedrooms. We had that, I think, too, this last time at the Stanley, there was a girl out in the hall because the water kept going on in her room. So it's been, and I tell people, don't just stick to the main haunted places you're familiar with. These spirits have no boundaries. And, you know, you've taught me a couple of great things, Grant, at the events that have really stuck with me. At Rolling Hills, what do we have, 15 people standing around looking at a rocking horse and a ball?
Yeah, right.
And they're all like, can you move the ball? Can you rock the rocking horse? And I just thought that was great. You come in, you're like, why are you limiting the ghost? Hey, you know, tear this room apart, kick the walls in, knock the bed over, break the Christmas tree, do whatever you want, show us. And then that table flipped with all the toys on it, right?
Yeah. Well, it didn't flip. Something got, I don't know what happened. A bunch of the toys just started falling all over the place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I meant sure it was like somebody had hit the table and all the pieces went
right,
flying,
exactly.
Right? So that was kind of cool,
exactly.
And there was nobody actually there to do that. So that was, you know, and that's been really insightful when I go to places and I see people. You know, like, God bless John Zaffis. I had him up when we did the Waverly Hills trip, which you guys weren't in town for. You were out filming for your show. I had John up on the fourth floor or the top floor of the Waverly. And he's up there, and there's water all over, and everybody's got balls looking around trying to make the move. And there's one ball, and there's 15 people around this ball, and this ball is gently rocking back and forth. And
right.
And John just kind of gives me this knowing look, but everybody was so excited about it. So I got down and I was feeling another set. Hold on a second. And I kind of put my arms up over in one area and the ball stopped moving. And then I moved
right.
My arms and the ball starts rocking again. I go, sorry, folks, it's just a breeze coming through here. And he goes, I tried to tell him, and they're like, no, the ball's been, we were asking it to move, it started moving, and I go, watch, and I blocked the breeze, and it stopped rocking again, and the dejected look on their faces, I go, I'm sorry, you paid to see ghosts, that was a ghost, I'll see you later.
Exactly, well, that's the beautiful thing about these things, is that
yeah.
You can watch the TV show all day, you can read books all day, but, you know, you can even go and investigate what you think is a haunted house, but you're not going to learn. I mean, I go to these events, one of the big kicks I get out of it is that I learn so much from the people who attend. I mean, these, like Lee, holy cow, there's one attendee, Lee, that comes that blows my mind with his technical knowledge. And
right.
We sit there and brainstorm new ideas and all this stuff. And he's telling me that, you know, he and I had a discussion at the Stanley where we were getting strange EMF readings. And we were able to, between his electrical knowledge and my plumbing knowledge, we were able to figure out that it was probably, they had probably replumbed the heating system in the room and connected it to old pipes. So the dissimilar metals were creating electrical current as the water was passing through them. Because it would only activate this EMF field when the heat was on.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, this is stuff that you can't learn by watching a TV show. I mean, it's very hard to learn reading a book because even if you read about that occurrence, you wouldn't necessarily see it in action. And this is what you get. I mean, being there in the trenches really forces the knowledge out of people. And that's the best part
right.
About doing these. And, I mean, it's not like you're doing it with the same five people you normally do it. You're doing it with new people every time.
Right, and there's so many good ideas and tips that other people
incredible.
Can share with you. And it was, you know, the other thing I like that you tell people when we're doing EVPs, when you turn them on, you're like, hey, you know, we can't hear you. Come up, yell, scream as loud as you can, please. Instead of just talking to them in a regular voice, you try to get them to yell so that they can be heard.
Right.
You know, that's what I think is, you know, it's just been little tips like that I've watched you dole out to people that, you know, it seems so simple. You're like, yeah, I wouldn't even think about that. But then I watch other people giving you tips that I've seen you do on an episode, you know, 2 months later
right.
When you're filming it. I see you using one of the methods somebody else has taught you guys. Which
exactly.
Which brings up, on this new season, you guys are doing a lot more homes again, huh?
Yeah, we are. What we're really excited about is the fact that, you know, when we went to St. Augustine Lighthouse, we had a great time
right.
Down there. We had some good evidence. It was 2 hours of, like, straight activity. We even had a member of the crew that threatened to quit
because
they wanted him to go back in there, and he said he'd walk back to Rhode Island. Yeah, he didn't care. But the fans had asked, and the producers wanted to do a show where we returned to Eastern State at one point to see if we could catch more activity, and we didn't catch anything.
Right.
And they wanted to think of what's a place that you would return to, because they wanted to do a special they could air before the spinoff of Ghost Hunters International.
Sure.
And so, we said, St. Augustine, let's do it. And so we were just a couple weeks ago, we were back down there, and we reinvestigated the St. Augustine Lighthouse, and that should be airing any time, and that was a good time. We went back there with so much more equipment, Dave, it was ridiculous. We had two times the cameras. We had hunting cameras that we had set up. They have a motion detector and an infrared light, so when it detects motion, it snaps a picture or a 15-second video. We had infrared glow sticks. We had motion detectors. We had everything. We lined the sucker up so it was impenetrable. And, it turned out to be an interesting time. So that's one thing I'm excited. But we're using more equipment. We've got a Faraday cage now custom built for a lot of our audio equipment so that it's a copper mesh so that when we catch an EVP on that microphone, it will actually, it won't record like stray cell phone signals or CB signals. That cage cancels that stuff out. So if we catch a voice on there, we know we have that extra layer of validity that it wasn't some stray signal somewhere.
Oh, very cool. Now you guys...
Yeah, we're starting to crack down.
We've been talking about Ghost Hunters International, alluding to it here. You guys have got, this is a spinoff, and let's see, for sure we know Brian, Donna, and Andy from the TV show that we've been watching the last four seasons are on there. Who else is rounding out the team?
Well, we got a girl named Shannon out of Massachusetts. She's kind of a little bit more of the energy, I guess, behind it. She's a little bit newer.
Okay.
We've got a guy, Rob Damaris, out of Florida, mm-hmm. who's a Taps family member, and we kind of brought him into it to lead the team. So he's pretty much like the lead investigator on that. He's very knowledgeable and a very good, thorough investigator. Then we have Barry Fitzgerald, who joins in a little bit because he's over in Ireland.
Oh, right.
He knows his way around these places. Right, he was in the Ireland episode.
That's right.
So he shows up throughout it, and it's good because we get a lot of requests. Our show is played in all over the world. We got to get a lot of requests from these places to investigate. And Jay and I would love to go there, but when you have a production company, you can't go over there for a week or two.
Right.
You've got to go and stay for a couple months. And, that's great if my kids were grown. I could just take my wife and go have a good time. But, two, 3 months overseas, we just can't do it. And so, everyone had this idea to do the show, and we put this team together and said, go. Let us know how it goes. So
now that kicks off.
We're handing over our cases to them, and then we'll see how it goes.
That kicks off as of January 8th. Is that right?
You would know better than I would, actually.
Okay, I think it's January 8th.
That makes sense, but right? Yeah, January 8th. I've just been it's all a blur right now.
Oh,
I've
bet.
Been moving so fast, yeah.
And that's going to be the team. Now, have they committed? Is there 13 episodes, of that, or 8 episodes to start off? What are we looking at, or don't you know for sure?
I believe it's 13, yeah.
13 episodes. And will they be airing then right after the Ghost Hunters episodes?
Well, they're starting right now. Ghost Hunters will start in March. Season 4, I believe, is going to start in March,
sure.
Beginning of March. So they'll probably show Ghost Hunters International until it runs out, and then, we'll pick up. Maybe it'll volley back and forth, so people will always have some form of Ghost Hunters, I guess.
Wow, isn't that sweet? We'll have Ghost Hunters Lite on the Wii channel.
That's right. Ghost Hunters with Abusive Husbands on the Lifetime channel.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Send your letters to Grant at the AtlanticParanormalSociety.com. Now, you guys also, aside from doing our events and doing TV show and now working with Ghost Hunters International, and let me ask you real quick because I know people are going to want to know, is there going to be any crossover? Or are we going to see you guys showing up on an episode of Ghost Hunters International?
You'll see us on the first episode, for sure.
So it's kind of like when Richie and Fonzie show up on the first episode of Mork? Is that what you're saying?
Heck yeah.
Well, it's just kind of to show how it all kind of makes
right,
to explain
up.
What I just explained to you
sure.
on the phone.
Okay.
But it's no, and we may be in here and there. I don't know. It's just a matter of you know when we're in the same country. I
sure.
guess.
Good deal. And then you guys are also doing now for people that don't know Beyond Reality Radio. If you're still in a fog and don't know this, Beyond Reality Radio is on every Saturday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. And you can check it out at beyondrealityradio.com and listen to the show live. It's out of Rhode Island on a radio station out there. And Jay and Grant are great, have a lot of fun. They have interesting guests on each week, and they spend 3 hours with you and take quite a few calls from the audience as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason. You know, it's funny because when Jay and I were first, you know, we were doing taps and stuff, and we really wanted to get our mentality out there to people. We thought the best medium would be a radio show and where we could actually interact and answer questions directly. Then we got this TV show, and which is great, and it's worked, but you can't really answer the problems or answer the questions directly. And so we went back to trying to get that radio show, and now we have it. And honestly, that's where we have our most fun, as you know, doing your show. It's a blast. It's a blast. And, you know, it's going to be, they're going to start to syndicate it this month, I guess. So, you know, if anyone wants it on their home station, they can listen to it in their car or whatever. You know, you just got to go to Citadel's website and let them know.
Very cool. And then, of course, you guys have Taps Paramag, which is another great monthly publication that comes out. It's a nice glossy magazine, talks about different aspects of the paranormal. You got some big writers on there, too.
Yeah, we tried to go for people who are really respected because, you know, we wanted to create a magazine that says, look, we're not messing around. These are good people. But the magazine has fun, too. It kind of caters to everything. Everybody, you know, if you're more of the astrologer type, it has a little bit in there for you, and if it's, you know, it covers all the ground, but it's well written. You got Lauren Coleman, who covers cryptozoology, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, you know,
covers everything, right?
Pretty much, yeah, right. Loosely covers everything, but it's good. It's a good magazine. We're just trying to we're trying to get our mentality out there, and I think it's starting to catch on. And it started a hunger where, you know, we weren't thinking about starting a magazine until people started really asking for one.
Sure.
So we did. And Jay and I had no intentions of writing a book.
Right, that's right. You guys have a book out
there,
too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. People were jumping down our throats. Just write a book. Okay, here's the book.
So now tell everybody, what's the name of the book?
It's called Ghost Hunting. And
very original. Simon, good job.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's part of our mentality. Make it easy.
I know. But we're just plumbers, Dave. Right?
Right.
So it's called Ghost Hunting, and it's written by Jane Grant, and then you also have another contributor to the book as well, correct?
Exactly. It's Michael Friedman. He's an excellent author. He's written many, many books, many on the top seller list, and he really made it easy for us. I mean, we wrote up, he pieced it all together nice and showed us where we needed to fill up a little bit because, like you just said, we're plumbers. And it worked out nice. It's a nice, fun read, and we decided, you know, Jay and I, obviously, we all equally put our work into it, but we decided to write it from Jay's point of view so that you feel like you're along on the ride a little bit better.
Oh,
so it's
kind
of neat. And yeah, it's a fun book. It's an easy read. You can get it anywhere, I guess. Barnes & Noble, all that stuff. Borders.
Yeah, it's out there everywhere right now, so people can pick it up. And then, of course, now, did I just read this properly? You guys have a video game out now?
Yeah, well, we got approached by Star Mountain Studios. They usually do, like, educational-type games and stuff. And Jay and I wanted to try and just put a little feeler out there to see if the type of feel we wanted from a video game would work. Because we want, like I said, if you can't come to an event or something like that, you've got to be in the moment to really learn what you're doing.
Right.
And so we've got this video game where it does a pretty good job. It's just a flash-based game, you know, but it's really immersive. You got to turn off the lights, turn up the volume, and you investigate. It has a different different tools that you use, and you gather evidence, and then it saves all the evidence in a laptop, which you can then review and decide if it really is evidence or not.
Is there a button at some point when it gets too scary, you can hit the dude run button?
Yes, the power button on your PC.
Dude run!
But it's just, it's a fun little game. It's nothing serious. It's not too in-depth. It's but it really does kind of give the new person, you know, a little bit of a feel of what an EMF detector is there for. You know, how to use the thermal, things like that. So it's fun.
Oh, very cool. So it's an educational game to kind of show you what all the tools are and how to do what you're doing. So when you set people out in the field, they're getting a little bit better knowledge.
Right, but it's got a really in-depth backstory, which makes it interesting. There is actually a mystery to solve there. And the most beautiful part of it is that they've written the game really loosely so that if people go to the message board and make suggestions and stuff, they'll actually implement it into the game. And then they're going to have all these different places you can investigate, you know, as time goes by. And eventually they're going to get to the places that we've actually investigated on the show. So you can play the game and walk around like the Stanley Hotel and, you know, investigate it. So
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Cyber investigations, Tim.
Yeah, who needs to leave their friends?
That's right.
We're going to get to the point where people don't leave their home at all.
Cheetos.
We're going to evolve into two big thumbs and set of eyes. A million years from now.
We've got all that going. You know, I have to laugh. You were talking earlier about, you know, being recognized a lot more now where you go out and do things. I think some of my favorite memories are hanging out with you and Jay and having Jay walk away. And, you know, it was bad enough before when I was bald and had a goatee and Jay was clean shaven. People would still come up and think that I was him. And my favorite part is when they'd walk up to the two of us and you're the most recognizable. And then they start talking to me. Love your show. We watch you guys every week and blah, 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 blah. But my answer is I go, which one am I? You're the bald one. Yeah.
The bald
big,
one.
Big fans of the show, are you?
Well, I love that when people come up and they're like, I love your show. I watch it every day. What's your name? And you're like, come on.
Derek Acora. Nice to meet you.
<You're right.
laughs> Yeah, we get that. So that's been some fun time. Like when we were standing, remember when we were at the Stanley back, I think it was March or April. And you and I were standing there, and that little girl started walking up. And as she kept getting closer, she just started shaking and trembling like a leaf.
That's right.
And I looked at you, and I go, oh, no, she thinks I'm him. And she comes walking over, and the mom looks at me, and she goes, the mom's got the perplexed look like, I don't know if you're the right guy, but I know the guy behind you is. And she goes, my daughter's really interested in meeting you. You're the Ghost Hunters, right? No, but he is.
Well, I love it when they recognize. They think you're a Jay, and I'm standing next to you, and they say to you, you know, I love your show, and then they turn around and see Jay. That's the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was when we were in Walmart or whatever. I think it was UniFCon 2 years ago. None of us had jackets, and it's cold as hell out. So we all went to buy a couple of lightweight jackets, and, yeah, Jay walked off, and Grant and I are standing there, and up walks this couple, and they're like, oh, God, you know, we love you guys. Watch your show all the time. And then Jay walks up behind me, and they just stopped. And that look on their face was priceless when they looked at you, looked at me, and looked at Jay. And then they're like, oh, man. And then Jay just goes, kind of shrugs his eyebrows and shoulders and turns around and walks away again. So, yeah, that's a great. And also I think one of my favorite fond memories was when I got to introduce Patrick Burns, Chris Fleming to Jay and Grant. And we had all this meeting at UniFCon 2 years ago. And Jay's out smoking in the parking lot and talking to Grant, and I come walking up the other side of the parking lot with Chris and Patrick, and all of a sudden we're like gunslingers facing off in the parking lot. We just all start doing a slow walk towards one another. I think we got about halfway, and I heard you start going, chink, 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 chink. Exactly, and got all up there together. So that was just a fun time. And, you know, just the friendships this radio show and your show has brought together has been great. I mean,
amazing.
That's what, you know, a lot of people don't understand just how cool you guys have been about a lot of the stuff. And I know you get embarrassed when I kind of toot your guys' horn at the events about it.
Yeah.
But to think, you know, I mean, here, you guys are the big dog right now in the field with paranormal shows. You're kind of the top echelon everybody's looking up to. And you, without a, you know, hesitation, will, you know, include Dead Famous, Haunting Evidence, Most Haunted, and different shows like that into your web so that they're, you know, all being represented so that all the different facets of the paranormal can be exposed on the show or at our live events. It's not just about Jay and Grant and Taps and
Well, I mean, like our mission, we always want to help the field, and we have our own mentality, and people understand that, but it doesn't necessarily jive with everybody. We get that. So we want people to come and see, you know, different, slightly different techniques, different ideas, you know, and, be able to find the way to investigate that really clicks with them. And, I think that's great. And the reason I think that's great is because, you know, Dave, if we're all investigating exactly the same way, we're not going to learn as much.
Exactly.
You know, if you, like Lloyd Auerbach, I had this discussion with him. He investigates with the lights on. We investigate with the lights off most of the time. And he always kind of had some contention towards us about that until I sat down and said, Lloyd, hey, you cover that side of the street, I'll cover this side of the street.
Exactly.
Tell me what you learn, I'll tell you what I learn. And, you know, he appreciated that. And that's the way it has to be. No, we don't have to argue. I mean, unless people are obviously hurting other people and just being jerks, that's stupid. But,
right.
You know, you do your, and we do that with our clientele too, Dave. We'll investigate one way, and then we'll say, you know what? I think you need this team because they investigate this way. And, sure. You know, maybe we'll bring in Keith's group who's a little bit more religious, or, you know, someone else's group who's a little bit more psychological, or, you know, a group that's more pagan or whatever, and, you know, here, go to town. Maybe this will work better for you.
Well, we're going to take a break. I don't know. I know everybody, just so you know, and again, what a classy guy is, Grant agreed to do our show about a week ago, and unfortunately he's been sicker than a dog today, but he was still willing to come on. Are you able to hang with us for a little bit more on the show, or do you need to get going, Grant? I don't want to push you.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I took some DayQuil, so I'm ready to rock.
Okay, good deal. Well, we're gonna take one break this hour, and then we'll spend the rest of the time with Grant. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got a pig.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. It's Dave and Tim shacking up, shacking up, shacking up, shacking up in the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Normally, we're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight. Tonight, we have a little bit of a special event going on. This is our second anniversary. 2 years ago today, we started off with our very first episode with Mr. Jason Haas spending the first hour of our show with us. And this year, for the second anniversary, we've got Grant Wilson from the TV show Ghost Hunters and co-founder of the Atlantic Paranormal Society is joining us here. And just want to thank you again for hanging out and being a part of the show with us tonight, Grant. And let's talk about, you have TAPSCon coming up in July?
Yes, right.
Okay, great. Tell us about TAPSCon.
Well, this is going to be interesting. It's we've been doing the retreats, which we, you know, we love most of all. But we really wanted to get together and do a convention where people can come and they can not only explore other, you know, technological or informational aspects of the paranormal in a booth type setup, but they can also share that knowledge as well. I know many people have created devices or have written books and or have various other things to offer, and they just don't have the exposure they need. So we create this environment where these people can come and share that information. And so we've got this, it's a convention. And it's going to be down in Florida, and it's going to be awesome, hopefully. I mean, we've got a lot of big plans for it. A lot of people have bought tickets already, and it should really work out. It's our first time, but a lot of time, money, and effort has gone into it, and it should be worthwhile. So.
And people can find out information by going to TAPSCon.com. Again, that's TAPSCon, C-O-N like Nancy, TAPSCon.com to get all the information. There's three different pricing tiers. There's a lot of great guests, a lot of great speakers they're going to have out at the event. So make sure that you go check that website out and be a part of it. And again, that comes up, is it July, 7th? I can't remember off the top of my head. I apologize.
Yeah, me either. I think it's 16th or 17th.
Okay.
All right. And it's nice. The hotel is beautiful where it's being held at, and it's also haunted. So once again, you get that benefit that if you're staying there or if you're there at all, something might happen. Or if you learn something from one of these people or buy a new gadget or something, you can actually use it right on the spot. So it should be really cool. And it's all being put together by Brent Fair, who's the Taft's family manager, and he's really busting his butt and doing a quality job. So I have to give him credit.
Great. And now I'm going to give out some websites for people if they're not familiar yet. We'll just go through this real quick. Again, if you have any questions regarding the TV show or you have places that you'd like to have investigated, you can write to casemanager@theatlanticparanormalsociety.com.
And, right, there are dashes in between there.
Okay, oh, there are in that one. Okay, so it's theatlanticparanormalsociety.com. You can write to them. You can, Jay and Grant unfortunately don't have chance to answer every email, so please don't be upset with the guys. They've got so much going on, and they film nonstop. And when they have time off, it's time spent with their family. But you can also go check out theatlanticparanormalsociety.com. They've got their entire network there, including some billboards, bulletin boards there that you can go into and chat boards with people, and that's a fantastic time. You can also go to TAPSParamag.com to sign up for your subscription to Taft's Paramagazine, which is a great monthly magazine, a lot of great information, a lot of great writers in there. You've also got BeyondRealityRadio.com, where you can go keep up with what's going to be going on in their show, and you can listen every Saturday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time by going to the website at BeyondRealityRadio.com. And again, for the Taft's Convention, you can go to TAPSCon.com. That's TAPSCon, which is short for convention, TAPSCon.com. And then, of course, for any of the paranormal retreats with Darkness Radio, you can go to DarknessEvents.com or ParanormalTrips.com and get all the information there for any of the trips. And we do have coming up Queen Mary at the end of February, the 24th through the 27th, which is going to be great to go back again. And then the Stanley Retreat, which we're going to do at the end of March. And we're doing these so close to the last ones because we had so many people on a waiting list and so many people that showed interest in wanting to attend. We are, I think I've got like 40 tickets left right now for the Queen Mary, and I think we've got less than about 60 tickets left for the Stanley. So they are moving quickly. If you want any of those, go sign up for them right now. They are available on the website at darknessevents.com. And what can you tell us, Grant? Have they continued on? Excuse you, Tim. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. Getting worried about him. He's going to black out on us over there. Have you guys, do you know anything beyond season four? Have they signed you guys to a multi-year, or is it just always year by year?
Well, we kind of have an agreement that, you know, that as long as there's a demand, we'll keep doing it. So we just kind of got to go with the flow and kind of see how it goes from year to year. So, but... Well, I mean, right now we're filming 13 episodes for season four. We're right on schedule. Once those start airing in March, if the ratings are good and everything like that, then they'll pick up another 9 and we'll just keep going like that.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
We've been hearing rumblings and rumors. Maybe you can put an answer to this. UFO Hunters, I heard, is coming out. Does that have anything to do with you guys?
It's the same production company, but that's about it. That's where it ends. But
okay, so there's not much more of a connection other than Pilgrim Films does it. Is that it?
Yeah, right. And okay. You know, if it's anything like Destination Truth, I think it'll do well. I like that show.
Oh, so do I. That's a great show.
Obviously, got to hang out with. Obviously, got to hang out with Josh Gates, and you know, great guy. He's really putting his heart into it, and. I think that show is really going to start breaking down some barriers for that field as well, and hopefully UFO Hunters will too, start to get some recognition. If the cast is right, hopefully we can break through some of this government BS and, you know, get some answers on some of this stuff. So
now, is it going to air on Sci-Fi Channel as well, UFO Hunters?
That I'm not sure of. I'm not sure of it at all.
Because I thought I'd seen an advertisement for it on History Channel, but I wasn't sure, so I just...
Yeah, I have a suspicion that it's on a different channel, but I can't say for sure. I don't know.
Okay. Well, what else is going on for Taps other than that? Have you guys been approached for, like, a toy line and things like that?
Well, you know, more by the fans than an actual company. You know, people come up with great ideas, you know, like people saying you should go and have them make a bobbleheads, and you should have an action figure that says "What the Fetch" and all this stuff. It's great ideas, you know. Having obviously, you know, a Brian figure that runs and all this stuff.
But this, those will be in the McDonald's Happy Land or Happy Meals, right? Where you squeeze the button on the back, and Brian's legs go back and forth like he's running.
Exactly. Cool. No, I mean, we're like I said, we don't necessarily actively pursue this stuff. It's just kind of when the need is there, yeah, we'll go with it. So people put up a big enough voice for something like that, then yeah, we'll do it.
Tim, is
a lot of people want us to come up with a Halloween costume for the kids, like a Ghost Hunters Halloween costume.
Tim and I were really thinking that, you know, we're holding out until we get the Ghost Hunters bed sheets and Ghost Hunters lunchbox.
Right there next to Optimus Prime, huh?
Exactly. Ooh. This is a collectible, and as long as I keep the original tags on, the money's going to go up with it everywhere.
But here's the thing, man. You're the first guy. You have an action figure. Right? Didn't someone make you a bobblehead for your birthday, right?
Very cool, huh? Diana and Joe Avena had the Incredible. Day of bobblehead in my ducky pajamas, so... So I beat you guys to the punch with the bobblehead figures. So
right.
There you go.
I didn't wear my ducky pajamas, so I lost to that one. I'm sorry.
You gotta be willing to stretch outside the boundaries, Grant. Who do you think out of the people involved in the field, who would you like to see be a part of more of the Darkness Radio events with you guys? I mean, are there any other people that you've always thought, geez, it'd be great to work with?
What's that?
With who?
Krusty the Clown.
Yes, exactly.
Krusty the Clown. I need to see more Tim Dennis. You know, he's just not available enough.
Come on up to my room. You'll see more of Tim Dennis.
Oh, God.
Ow.
I need more cowbell. Give Grant more cowbell. Oh, God.
No, you know, honestly, I think a lot of people I'd like to meet at the events are people that aren't really out there yet. They have the great ideas that haven't been able to express them yet. And every time I meet somebody like that at an event, you know, it really just hits me, because like how are your ideas not out there? And, you know, I think that we need more, we need people with fresh ideas, with new perspectives, more than we need people who've been doing it for a long, long time.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, Tim, you've got a bunch of questions you said were popping up from the listeners out there, so why don't we give them a chance? We'll throw out a couple questions here.
Yeah, we'll just throw out a few basic ones. Let me see. I got to get to one first. Way to catch me off guard.
Well, somebody wanted to know about how you guys got picked out of everybody else in the United States to do your show, or, you know, to be the Ghost Hunters on that show.
Right, that's a good question. We actually, we're approached by... We've been approached by the media several times, newspapers and things. We got approached by the New York Times. We had done an article with them before, but they wanted us to do like a cover article for the whatever Life Beat or whatever home section of the New York Times for Halloween. So we said, sure. And so this reporter came and went on a case with Jay and some of the other guys, and they debunked the heck out of the case, which confused the reporter a lot. He's like, aren't you guys supposed to believe in this? We said, no. We explained how it worked. And he was blown away by it and wrote a very good article. And it came out in New York Times, went to 140 other papers, and that day we got phone calls from everybody, you know, different networks and different production companies. And, you know, we just kind of said, no, thank you. Excuse me, I'm not feeling well. Hang on.
No, that's okay.
Sorry. And there was eventually one guy that said, look, because everyone wanted us to go to L.A. or New York and talk to them. And it's like, yeah, screw that. I'm, you know, trying to make a living here. And this one guy said, well, I'll come to you. So we said, okay, fine. Free dinner, right? So we went and met with this guy. And, you know, he really had some good ideas and really felt passionate about that, you know, that we could do something here. And we were just like, that's great and all, what do you have in mind? And he had in mind a drama where an actor would come and live with me for like a month and learn all my quirks and stuff and then portray me on screen as they would recreate some of our past cases, which worked out fine for me because I could live my life in relative, anonymity and, you know, and...
Is there any truth to the rumor they wanted the guy that played Jack on Will and Grace to be you?
No, they wanted De Niro. No.
Excellent. No. What the fedge? What the fedge? That's right. What I want to know.
When you listen to EVP, yeah, you talking to me?
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a but so we're like, fine, whatever. This is cool. We'll go with this. We can still keep our lives. And then as we met with these production companies that he was, you know, trying to sell this idea to, the more we met with them, the more they said, well, what you guys do and the way you guys interact, you can't recreate this. You have to show it for real, or else people won't believe it, won't buy it. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, you guys have to do a show. And we turned down 5 production companies. We just said, no, this is not what we want to do. We're not about this. And then our the guy, the agent there, who had gotten to know us pretty well by now, said, look, I know how much you guys love the field, and if you don't do this, the word has gotten out. If you don't do this, who will? And how will they portray the field? And that kind of hit us below the belt. So he said, fine, we'll film 10 episodes and get it done and then go back to work. Well, here we are, you know, 4 seasons. So that's kind of how that, we didn't necessarily, you know, they didn't have the idea of the show ahead of time and we're looking for a team. Nothing like that was going on. We obviously weren't built. We weren't assembled as a team for the show. It was just they found it and then it turned into this idea. And they had us. Our agent said, which network would you want to be on? And we thought, well, you know, Sci-Fi seems right because, you know, I think any other channel doesn't really fit.
Right.
Like Discovery Channel, I don't know. Would it be too, you know, educational trying to be, or is it going to show exactly how it is? And,
right.
And it turned out nice. That's that long, boring story.
Very cool. Tim, did you have another one?
Yeah, Don from PPRS wants to know, Grant, what's your most memorable piece of evidence that you have experienced and or found?
Whew. That's rough. I think probably the my favorite type of evidence are EVPs, because the fact that you caught one is evidence itself, but that evidence can also present you with a clue that you can then research and find out more about, like a name, for example. And we did a case in New York where we had gotten this EVP of a name, Beatrice, and the homeowner had no idea what it was, and she asked her mother, and she didn't know who Beatrice was, and we kept getting this EVP in the same spot in the basement. And Dave, you've heard this story before.
Oh, yeah.
And she called her grandmother, and her grandmother said, Beatrice, where'd you hear that name? And she told her, and the grandmother said, well, go upstairs into the certain closet and break a hole, you know, about 2 feet above the ground, break a hole in the wall. Like, okay, and the homeowner was fine with it, so hey, why not? We went and smashed a hole through the wall, and there was a little old journal that had been hidden in the wall. We opened it up, and it was the homeowner's grandfather's journal, and he was involved in organized crime. And in that journal, it talked of a woman named Beatrice, who was her grandfather's mistress, that he had gotten pregnant and she was going to squeal. So, like any good mobster would, he threw her in the well in the basement and covered it up with cement.
Oh, jeez.
And so because we were there investigating the paranormal, we were able to solve a 60-year-old missing person case. That's the kind of evidence that is awesome. I mean, come on.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, that's.
I mean, a lot of people think it's got to be a full-body apparition, but that speaks more and has actually done more good than a full-body apparition could.
No doubt. Well, Grant, I want to thank you, and especially for being a class act coming on, even though you weren't feeling well tonight. I look forward to seeing you again in a couple of weeks here when we go back to the Queen Mary in February and the Stanley in March, and God knows what other fun adventures we're going to have in 2008. But thank you for being a big part of the success here for Darkness Radio.
No, and thank you. I mean, I don't know where we'd be without Darkness Radio. You guys have really helped out.
Hey, man.
So
it's
thank you.
Our pleasure, and much success in 2008 and beyond. I hope the show is on for a good long time. 10, 15, 20 years down the road, we'll still be watching Ghost Hunters, the next generation.
Right, as we wheel around in our rascal scooters.
Exactly. Dude, hobble.
Is this place wheelchair accessible? That's our our top priority now.
Exactly, exactly. And then, but Jay's walking around going, huh? What? Did you hear that? What? What? It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, you have a good one, sir. Happy New Year. Best of luck to you for the rest of the future here, and we'll be seeing you real soon.
Likewise, Dave. Take care. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Take care. And you guys, stay tuned with us. Thank you for joining us here on the special edition second anniversary show. We're going to open up the phone lines for hour two so that you can call in and share your favorite darkness memory moments and darkness radio memories and your favorite parts of the events if you've been out there. We have some of the celebrity guests who are going to be calling in. So stick with us. We'll be back after the top of the hour with more.